Let us pray. Give us, Lord, a clear vision of the truth, a clear vision of our lives, faith in your power, and confident assurance of your love. Amen. Yesterday, our next door cafe hosted a community litter pick, and about 30 volunteers filled about as many large sacks of litter found around the town. And so we can say that Haverhill is different this morning. It's tidier, and we rejoice. And as a church, we can be pleased with our success and grateful to all those who attended from church and from the community as well. Well, God's word to us this morning through Paul urges us to consider God's great litter pick. God's great litter pick. Not of rubbish, but a litter pick of sinful human behavior. We've got a picture on the screen of a litter pick. Hopefully, coming up. As we heard read to us, Colossians chapter 3 is littered with sinful human desires, which, if acted upon, would spoil our human life and relationships. Paul picks out the garbage and names it. Be there in a minute. Don't panic. That's okay. It's more the spoken word than the visual today. So Paul picks out the rubbish and he names it. We heard it mentioned there: impurity, immorality, bad temper, greed, idols that would take the place of God in our lives. And Paul is saying that such sinful behavior has no place in the life of a Christian or the life of a church, then and now. All of that is rubbish. It has no value. It pollutes. We can and we must be free of it. And freedom in Christ is one of Paul's great themes. Here in his letter to the Colossians, Paul celebrates the newfound freedoms of life in Christ. There is freedom from religious traditions and human regulations. We are not chained to all that. The Christian is free. But we are not free to deliberately go on sinning, relying on God's grace and forgiveness. As Kay said in her prayer, "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways." The Christian is free, but we're not free to carry on living foolishly. But isn't the truth that our sinful nature doesn't give up easily? Sin, like litter, hangs around. In our litter pick yesterday, we picked up new litter and we picked up some very old litter that had lain undisturbed for many years, almost absorbed into the landscape, some of it needing to be dug out. But with a keen eye, we spotted it and we binned it. And that's something about what we need to do as Christians. We need to have a keen eye upon our own life. It's very easy to see the faults in others, as I will say later, but today this is about us personally. There's the litter pick. Well, there's a story told of a boy who was doing a beach clean in Cornwall, and he found an old packet of cheese and onion crisps. And hopefully we might have a picture of the packet of crisps that he found. And they could tell us, they looked at the style of the packet of crisps and part of the date, they could tell that that crisp packet was about 30 years old. 30 years old. And it reminds us how a 1980s picnic on the beach impacted on our 21st century environment. But finally, at last, 30 years too late, this crisp packet ended up where it should have been, in the bin and not in the sea. And likewise, our sinful and selfish behaviour have polluted our world for many, many years, since the time of Adam and Eve. Sin, like litter, hangs around. Old habits die hard, but die they must. The Christian must put off the old self and put on the new. God strips us of sin and reclothes us. And it was fitting that Kay mentioned that hymn, "Reclothe us in our rightful mind." That's what Paul mentions here. Picture an old coat and a new coat. And we've got a picture on the screen there. This looks like two coats, but it is one old and tattered coat on the left that has been lovingly restored and made new. This is a before and after picture. And friends, this is the work of restoration that God does in a human life. In your life, in my life. It reminds me of a song sung by a country singer called Patti Loveless, called Two Coats. One coat being our sinful nature, and the second coat being the coat of righteousness. And it has these lyrics. Two coats were before me, an old and a new. I asked my sweet master, oh, what must I do? The old coat was ugly, so tattered and torn. The other, a new one, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. The first man was earthly and made from the ground. We bore all his image, the whole world around. The next was my Saviour, from heaven so fair. He brought me this new coat you now see me wear. Now this coat, it suits me and keeps me warm. It's good in the winter, it's good in the storm. My Saviour has dressed me in a garment so rare. He bought me this new coat you now see me wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. Are we wearing the new coat today? Are we properly dressed this morning? Does your coat need some work on it, like mine? The good news is we come to God in our rags, like ragamuffins, and he accepts us just as we are. He loves us like that. But he loves us enough not to leave us like that, but to change us into the imitation of Jesus. When you read the Bible, you find a number of places where it speaks of being clothed in such a way as being acceptable to God. Just a few examples. Elsewhere in Galatians, Paul writes, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And elsewhere he speaks about the perishable body being clothed with the imperishable body. The psalmist writes about being clothed with joy and being clothed with righteousness. And lastly, Isaiah writes, "He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Such good news. And maybe Paul was thinking about these verses from the Psalms and Isaiah when he wrote about being clothed in Christ. And of course, new Christians at their baptism, they would go under the water and out and would be given a clean white cloak or gown to show that they were new, born in Jesus. Our poverty, our sin, our nakedness are clothed by God, and we are not the same. And Paul is saying, don't go back. Don't go back to the old ways of Adam and Eve. With God's help and guidance, we can go his way. We can make wise choices for living. Choose the narrow path. Not in our own strength, but only with the indwelling Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us to choose a life that pleases God our Father. The Message Bible describes Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14 in this way. Dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So we wear the new restored coat. If anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. Yes, sometimes we wear that new coat and we reach inside and we find that 30-year-old crisp packet. And you know what I mean by that? That thing that you find it hard to put to death. Often we know what we need to do. We know what our problem is, but it lingers. And we need to confess whatever that is that continues to pollute our life like that crisp packet. We know our need today for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. And as I said, to look at that old crisp packet in our own life and not just see it in that family member or that person at work that you find it hard to get on with. The 14th century theologian, I'm using all the recent quotes today, Thomas A. Kempis, he helps us in this when he wrote these words. Those things that one cannot improve in himself or in others, he ought to endure patiently until God arranges things otherwise. Nevertheless, when you have such impediments, you ought to pray that God would help you and that you may bear them kindly. Endeavor to be patient in bearing with the defects of others, whatever they are. For you also have many failings which must be borne by others. If you cannot make yourself be as you would like to be, how can you expect to have another person be to your liking in every way? We desire to have others perfect, and yet we do not correct our own faults. We would allow others to be severely corrected and will not be corrected ourselves. We will have others kept under by strict laws, but in no case do we want to be restrained. And so it appears, he concludes, that we seldom weigh our neighbour in the same balance with ourselves. Challenging words. So we watch out today for that 30-year-old crisp packet. It must be binned sooner or later. And the sooner, the better. We look to that day when we shall be made perfect. This was Paul's great hope. We are a work in progress. We are on the journey towards Christian perfection. And one day we shall be made perfect, made complete in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, fully restored. God can do it. God will do it. God's great litter pick will be accomplished in you and in me and in the whole of creation. The death and the resurrection of Jesus confirm our hope of transformation. We see this transformation portrayed in the final picture that I want to show you as I close. A picture of a painting called The Golden Crucifixion by Norman Adams. Christ nailed to the cross. His blood shed for us. And as we come to share in bread and wine this morning, we remember that it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, shed for us, that we are made new, that we are cleansed from all sin. No other work, no other hope, but the blood of Jesus that covers it all. because of his great love, Jesus Christ took the whole sackful of our sinful nature, and it was nailed to the cross with him. He paid the highest price for our new coat. And the butterfly wings suggest life from death. This is our great hope. We have died with Christ, and we shall rise with him. We shall be changed. We shall become like him. May our lives, may our church continue to put off the old and put on the new. Amen. Let us pray. Alive to God's abundant love, let us bring to him those things that he has put his loving finger on this morning. Maybe how we have sinned or have been sinned against. God, hear our regret. Remove our guilt and fear. Carry the weight of our care. As we repent of our sins, renew us with your grace and clothe us with perfect love. Change us from glory into glory. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. To all who turn to him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." Amen.